Okay, with that, I call the, 1,372nd meeting of the Board of Directors to order. Before you is the agenda. Is there questions or objections to the agenda? Hearing none, the agenda is accepted. The approval of the February 23rd board meeting minutes. Is there a motion for approval? Moved by Mr. Dyke. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Downs. Our discussion? Discussion, hearing done. All those in favor?
Aye.
And opposed? Hearing none. We have a public comment session, and I am going to outline item number 5 and 6, number 6 in the public comment before I read it, before I call. And it indicates, according to the guidelines for public comment, in moderating the comment period, it indicates the board reserves the right to ban from public comment persons to engage in a consistent pattern of disruptive behavior at LaMotta meetings. This may include the use of slurs, derogatory comments, or other conduct, whether physical, verbal, or written, and directed at another person or based upon another person's race, color, origin, sexual, religion, orientation. And I raised that comment as I began because I think we do need to remind that we are here at giving comment and we want everyone to be respectful, and we, the board, want to receive your comments. First person that is up for comment today is Mr. Michael Sendren.
Morning, Madam Chair. All those with the sound of my voice. Michael Sendren, disabled veteran, served our country more than most. I'm glad you broached the issue of racial sensitivity. The day before last, I was accosted by an African-American female. I won't repeat the profane, obscene, or abusive language that was used. This happened at Color Park Metro Stop Station. She's a station manager. Her name is Ms. Brady. I had a complaint, which I gave to one of the young ladies to make copies so they can be distributed accordingly. I also passed up a couple articles that appeared as of late, one in the Express and one in the Examiner, and I think we need to look at this very, very closely. We live in financial dire straits. And elections come up. I believe all of you sit on some kind of government board, or most of you do. And the point is that with your record as you sit, would you want that brought before we the people? Because the services at Metro have decreased. The fares have increased. If you're going to go on that record, there you are. I understand you have an appointment. Councilman Bowser, election coming up. You know, I have Ward 4 and others. It just ain't happening. It's not happening. Making some improvement. I'm not being beaten up like I was last meeting, Chief Pagel. So, indeed. And, you know, lest we forget, the poster child. I also have written to Mr. Biondi, General Counsel, about an ongoing FERP card matter. I haven't gotten a response. Madam Chair, I've written to you. I've written a letter to you. I've not gotten any response. It would be helpful if you think. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I'm going to assign this to you next time. this time I would like to move that the board certify to the best of each member's knowledge that at the just concluded executive session, only such matters as authorized for discussion in executive session under bylaws, Article 10, and only those matters identified in the notice by which the executive session was convened were heard, discussed, or considered by the board. Is there a second to that motion?
Second.
Is there any objections to hearing? None. All those in favor? Opposed. That concludes the public comment period. Next item on the agenda is the Writers Advisory Council. And Mrs. Silva, welcome, Ms. Silva.
Good morning, Chair Hudgens, members of the board. My name is Lorraine Silva, and I have represented Arlington County in the RAC since 2009. I currently serve as Virginia Vice Chair. I am originally from Puerto Rico and moved to Washington in 1981. I've lived in Arlington since 1985. I choose not to drive or own a car. Therefore, I take advantage of all the services available to me from Monarca and local jurisdictions. Now, it is my pleasure to present to you the March 2012 Writers Advisory Council report. At the March RAC meeting, we had a presentation for Board Member Mary Hines on the draft mission, vision, and strategic goals that the board has developed and is sharing with stakeholders. The RAC approved, provided feedback on the draft statement. In general, we thought Metro's vision should be more strategic and aspirational. Metro's goals must include engaging with stakeholders, not just the riders, but everyone in the region whose success is tied to Metro, and that Metro needs to be able to provide the region with a clear picture of what its future will look like, both in the short term as it completes its rebuilding efforts, as well as further into the future. The Council very much appreciated Mrs. Hines' thoughtful dialogue with us on this important topic. At the March RAC meeting, we also heard from our members that attended all the public hearings on Metro's proposed FY 2013 budget and proposed fare increases. The Council has established a working group to make recommendations on the budget and fare increases, and we look forward to providing you with the Council's recommendation on the proposed fare increase following our April meeting. In addition, the RAC leadership team hopes to meet soon with Mr. Sarles to discuss what areas he would like us to address or to work on with Metro. We are also in the midst of meetings between the board members and RAC members from the same jurisdictions. We currently have three vacancies on the Council, one each from D.C., Alexandria, and Fairfax. We ask that you move quickly to fill these vacancies. Thank you for the opportunity to address the board.
Thank you very much, Ms. Silva. The next is the Accessibility Advisory Committee, Dr. Posner.
Hi. Good morning. I'm giving a report this week because Patrick is working for the government today and couldn't come. So we have gone over the report together, and I promised him I would follow the script. Hudgens and members of the board, good morning. It's my pleasure to present you with the Accessibility Advisory Committee report for the month of February 2012 and a preview of the March 2012 report covering the joint AAC-AFA meeting and relevant subcommittee motions. The Bus Rail Subcommittee report for February. The Bus Rail Subcommittee continued its discussion on bus stop accessibility with Prince George's County Department of Public Works and Transportation. There are approximately 4,000 bus stops in the county transportation system that are in need of some accessibility improvements. Bus stop improvements in the county have been limited by funding. The BRS will draft a letter to the Maryland State Highway Administration for the Bus Rail Subcommittee. Bus Rail Subcommittee made recommendations on quarry
Thank you.
The report from the Metro Access Subcommittee for February of 2012, the Metro Access Subcommittee passed a motion to thank Mr. Roger Brunow, the water treasurer, and Mr. Christian Kenton's staff for implementing a successful campaign to Metro Access Subcommittee. These are really, really nice things that they did.
Are there any questions? Thank you very much. I want to indicate how dedicated you guys are, and we appreciate the work that you're doing. And it's been very helpful, I think, to our deliberations as well. Thank you. The next item is a report for from the chair, and I would just like to comment that it has been a very good opportunity to hear from the customers doing the public hearings, and the opportunity to go around the region and hear that discussion has been helpful because it provides a sense of consistency of what things that we're hearing, and the board will receive a report in the next meeting regarding the public hearings that we attended. With that, I would like to go now to the general manager's report.
Good morning. A few weeks ago, I appeared before Ms. Bowser's committee to update the Council of the District of Columbia on the FY13 budget. In the course of the committee hearing, I heard testimony from a group of women and men advocating on behalf of those who who experienced sexual harassment while riding on our system. I found the testimony disturbing, particularly that related to employees behaving inappropriately or failing to adequately respond to complaints from passengers. At my direction, a task force was formed to develop an action plan. The task force has been meeting, and at the table with staff are advocates from Collective Action for Safe Spaces, as well as representatives from the D.C. Rape Crisis Center. Metro also is participating at a forum tonight hosted by the Collective Action for Safe Spaces at the American Association for University Women. Together, we have a comprehensive plan to raise awareness among employees and riders about sexual harassment, to increase incident reporting and enforcement, and to improve tracking of incidents to increase transparency and identify trends. Some elements of the plan include focused police outreach to victims of harassment. Since we established a special email address for reporting last week, police have investigated 5 complaints. Metro Transit Police has revised its reporting mechanisms to track verbal harassment incidents as well as sexual assault, which will be made public by the chief in his quarterly report to the Board Safety and Security Committee. We are encouraging reporting of sexual harassment through social media channels. After reviewing best practices among other transit properties, we have licensed the educational materials from the MBTA in Boston that will be replicated here. Employees have received a message from me and will receive educational materials, and we are updating and expanding our sexual harassment curriculum for new employee training. I am pleased with the collaboration between staff and advocates and the quick work to encourage better reporting of sexual harassment. In fact, in recognition of National Sexual Harassment Awareness Month, we will be kicking off our public outreach campaign on April 2nd. I want to thank the board for participating in the 6 public hearings, which attracted 270 attendees and 124 participants. We also received survey feedback from about 3,500 people, written comments from 92 people, and 23 additional comments from Metro Access customers on an open forum phone line. We appreciate that our customers and transit advocates took the time to participate in this process. We are now reviewing the comments we received. We will come back to the board's finance committee next month to advance toward a final budget decision with the concerns we received in mind. The board, like many members of the public, have been actively involved in the development of our new system map, which we unveiled on Monday. Importantly, the map was revised to help customers navigate the system's interim changes in preparation for the Silver Line service. Rush Plus, the new rush hour service that begins June 18th, is also designed to ease crowding and improve the commuting experience for Metrorail riders on the orange, blue, green, and yellow lines. By providing additional trains, Rush Plus will add more seats for customers and more transfer-free rides. Additionally, orange and yellow line trains will be serving more destinations. Barbara Richardson's team will be working to inform customers and stakeholders about the service changes through posters and handouts throughout the system, a video learning tool that will be available on our Metro Forward YouTube channel and through a variety of other station and public communications this spring. Spring started officially this week, and the unseasonably warm weather has kicked off the cherry blossom season even earlier than usual. We're taking a break from our aggressive scheduled track work and rebuilding to accommodate customers traveling to the tidal basin and the many festival events during cherry blossom season. Specifically, there will be no scheduled weekend track work on the Metro Rail system through Sunday, April 15th. Weekend track work will resume at 10 p.m. on Friday, April 20th. On weekdays, scheduled midday track work will be suspended between Monday, March 26th and Friday, April 13th. During cherry blossom season, all scheduled track work will take place after 10 p.m. On average, Metro ridership increases by more than 15% during cherry blossom season, and weekend ridership can double to near weekday levels when the weather is nice. To accommodate the expected higher ridership, we have added 8 car trains during off-peak hours and on weekends as needed. And additional Metro customer service personnel are available to assist customers at key stations. As we celebrate Women's History Month, I want to take a moment to mark an important milestone for Senator Barbara Mikulski. Yesterday, the Senate paid tribute to her as the longest-serving woman in Congress. As everyone in this room is well aware, Senator Mikulski has been one of the leading voices on Capitol Hill in support of our rebuilding effort and our effort to restore Metro's safety culture. On behalf of all of us here at Metro, I want to thank Senator Mikulski for extraordinary leadership and service to the people of Maryland, this region, and our country. Madam Chair, this... Madam Chair, this concludes my remarks.
Yes. Mr. Bell.
Just want to be sure that you will be transmitting those thoughts to the Senator.
I have already.
Thank you.
Employee spotlight. The employee spotlight is next.
No, that was rescheduled.
Okay, all right. The next item is the report of Finance Committee, Finance and Administration Committee, Mr. Acosta.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The following action was referred to the Board at the March 8th meeting of the Finance and Administration Committee. Staff requested approval to amend the FY 2012 reimbursable operating and capital budgets of the Metro Police and Bus Services. One part of the amendment increases the FY 2012 operating reimbursable budget for MTPD by almost $3.8 million to authorize use of the FY 2011 Transit Security Grant Program funding. The second part of the amendment authorizes a reimbursable expense budget for bus services. Department of Defense will reimburse Metro per the agreement passed by the board on January 26, 2012 to provide enhanced bus service between West Falls Church Station and Mark Center Transit Center. This will increase operating expenses by $339,000 and capital expenses by $139,000. I would like to move approval of the resolution before you.
Is there a second?
Second.
Second, Mr. Downs. Any discussion? Yes, Mr. Bolger.
I just had a question, Madam Chair, on the operating reimbursable budget regarding the TSA grant. I noticed that in 2012, this particular grant has an overtime amount of $221,000, and in 2013, another overtime amount of $2.4 million. And it drops off in overtime. I just don't understand why we're getting a grant to pay for overtime. Can someone explain versus straight time, Madam Chair?
Mr. Tabor.
Yes, Mr. Director. The overtime associated with that grant is for a couple of things. One is for special events that consistently occur in the nation's capital. Another is for the reimbursements for overtime associated with the inauguration.
Thanks.
Any other questions? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed. Thank you, Mr. Acosta. The next is the report from the Customer Service and Operations, Mr. Downs.
The following action item was discussed at the March 8th Customer Service and Operations Committee. Approval of proposed fiscal year 13 bus enhancement program. Recommended approval of additional bus service to provide a bus alternative to new Rush Plus Metro Rail service in Virginia and inclusion of resources in the fiscal year 13 budget proposal to fund this service. The committee deferred the authority to begin the process to implement priority corridor network and running time, crowding, and safety adjustment project to maintain a state of good operation system-wide effective June 17, 2012, until further review by the jurisdictional staff. I would move approval.
Is there a second? Second, Mr. Dyke. Discussion. This is, we've moved this subject to the effect of June 12, 2012. I think it's important to note that these are services that we believe are very much an enhancement to it, and these are the things that we heard at the public hearing. So it's very important that we address the services that are there. I think in coming back with that decision, I think it's very important that we get to that. Ms. Hines. It's a slow microphone.
It's a slow mic. It's, oh, thank you, Tony.
That's what it does.
You have an alternate microphone.
Yes, I guess that's what it is. Oh. Ooh, Mr. Down. Be careful. You too could join the ranks. I just want to make sure I'm clear. The first item is the one that we have been talking about relative to extending some bus lines to get one-seat rides from that would go from Braddock Road up to Roslyn as we move to split the blue and yellow, and Alexandria and Arlington have figured out how to pay for that. The second item I do believe was discussed at JCC, and so when we talked about doing this relative to the board meeting, I had actually thought if JCC was good with this and had given us feedback that we might in fact be able to take action on it today. So I'm asking for clarification because this is partly about getting it all lined up so we can implement it slightly in advance of the budget.
And I'm calling attention to the resolution because I think part of the resolution addresses the question about the 2013 budget, that do we have confirmation that the 2013 budget will cover that?
So the what the board could do is in order to cover that expense this year for next year would be to earmark funds that are currently in an operating reserve. As you may recall, we ended FY 2011 in a surplus position, which the board directed most of that to pay back the capital loan that we borrowed. However, there was $5 million that were left. By board resolution, we put that in an operating reserve, and the board can choose to use that operating reserve how they see fit. And so there is an opportunity to use a portion of those funds to fund this effort, but that would have to be by board consensus and resolution.
And that is the purpose, and I went back to the resolution because it does say proposed 2013 budget includes the funding and identification of where that funding is the only item that was missed in that discussion. So that that was the question that's raised. The motion is to defer the action, but I think we ask that if it was here before the board in a timely manner, that it would allow you to move forward, and this is a service improvement piece. Are there any questions?
Yeah.
Madam Chair, could I ask for clarification from the general manager? The reason for the part of the sentence that is, in quotes, the authority to begin the process to implement priority corridor network and running time, routing and safety adjustment project to maintain a state of good operation system-wide effective June 17, 2012, until further review by the jurisdiction staff was placed in.
See, I have one of those too. was placed in the proposed resolution. Because
your mic is on.
Doesn't work when I turn on. But what we've discovered over the last couple of days, I think, first of all, there was two things that happened. Yeah. One is we've met with the JCC, and I think we've achieved consensus with them, and Jack can address that. And two, we were able to identify this additional money, so the resolution can be amended if the board so chooses, to authorize staff to go ahead and introduce that bus service. In other words, we could delete that proposed language beginning with the end of the first sentence.
Mr. Downs, are you looking at the part that you read? Are you looking at the actual resolution?
No, I'm reading the language that the staff suggested as
the opening for the discussion.
Well, I would suggest perhaps we want to look at the second to the last resolved, which doesn't say that.
Yes, I did. I was asking why the language they suggested the language. Okay.
It wasn't updated, I think.
It wasn't updated? I'm sorry.
It's like the resolution.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes. So the resolution, yes. And is there a question?
I guess, yeah, the question I have is, are we making a proposal that we modify this resolution?
The resolution is okay. The resolution.
The first part was what came out of the committee meeting.
Yes.
That was what came out of the committee meeting. Then, as a result of what went on with the JCC and the analysis of the reserve, turned up the reserve, it allowed us to have the resolution as proposed here.
Yes.
So you have the money.
Yeah.
As a, using the reserve, the FY12 reserve. You have, well, FY11 really. You have the money to introduce the service. There was been a concern was, you know, the budget hasn't been adopted for FY13 yet, so where's the money coming from? We've identified money that was already in the reserve, operations reserve, so that's no longer a concern. There was a desire that there'd be a revisit with the JCC to make sure that everyone understood what was going on. That has occurred. And everybody's on board. So those two things that came out of the committee have been addressed.
Okay, I guess my question is trying to process the, we are taking money out of the reserve. Mm-hmm. We'd be doing that. We would be earmarking those dollars for the next fiscal year. Mm-hmm. And I guess I'm trying to think through the implications of that in terms of a process standpoint, in terms of what we're doing, and have we given that process adequate consideration in terms of earmarking funds out of our reserve for a specific purpose. And that has nothing to do with the qualitative decisioning on the modification of service. Just thinking about what we're doing from a process standpoint, just from a fiscal standpoint. And I think that's, I want to be careful that we don't establish a precedent for making isolated decisions around service that impacts future years outside of the budget process. And, not clear that I'm comfortable with that. I'd like to hear a little more dialogue around what's the precedent for doing that and what would preclude us from going through another step to get it there. That's my question.
Well, I think what we're talking about here is every year we have to adopt a new budget to address the service, whether it's changed or not. So by adopting this now, you already have the money for it. Basically what occurred is we had some money left over from FY12. The board assigned most of it to paying off the preventive maintenance loan, if you will. There was this money that was left over from that surplus, if you will, from FY11, which was just set aside. We did not ask the board to make a specific decision on it. The audits have been done. We confirmed the amount of money in the last month or so, and it's available. So you can adopt these bus route changes knowing that you have the money to do it already. Doesn't rely on next year's budget.
Madam Chair,
Mr. Downey, and then
a brief recap. The cost for this change in bus service is projected to be $294,000, offset by a forecasted $67,000 in passenger revenue.
That sound right. No. Jack, it's more like $2 million or something.
Jack,
I know, that's what. Okay, we're doing two things. First, the push for the Arlington service was so that the bus service would be in place at the same time as the new Rush Plus service would be.
Mm-hmm.
That's how we got to this conversation. I want to keep at least the conversation in some kind of time order. That initial service and the reason for having that bus service on the agenda now is to provide that bus bridge to offset the reductions in service on the Blue Line. Having said that, there is a separate proposal about bus adjustments, a larger set of items that are not necessarily reflected in the board's staff work that are
separate about the cost data in the board's workup. That other set of bus changes were also discussed at the customer service committee, and they are services that the staff had proposed to be adopted in front of the adoption of the fiscal year 13 budget. I want to keep the two separate because I believe they're two separate issues. One is to offset a rail service change, and the other is to improve the overall performance of the bus network region-wide.
I agree with that process, Mr. Downs, and the resolution that's here does address both of them, and it answers or it addresses the fact that the funding for the other, as was asked in the committee, isn't been identified. But let me do this for process-wise. I'm going to separate the two and allow the first half. And if you would consider it an amendment, the seconder friendly, then we can then move the other for the larger discussion. And I think we can go back to the committee discussion. Yeah. Okay. And who was the seconder? Mr. Dykus second. So the motion on the table is to approve the rush plus services as in the resolution here with the funding and all.
And may I ask a question of clarification, Madam Chair, related to that? So in that approval, then we are authorizing the funding out of our reserve fund to do that.
In this approval, this is played for about, if you go to the resolution, the first resolve is to the attachment and the funding by Arlington and Alexandria for that service. Okay. A question, Mr. Downs.
Two questions. On the use of the reserve, did we fully repay the preventive maintenance? Okay, so that obligation was met first, and this is left over after. That's good. Second, with respect to the priority corridor service, the larger bundle, the resolution and the description said that would actually kick off June 17th, so that's in advance of the fiscal year. Is that a pick? Is that a normal time? So you really need to know when you're doing the pick whether this service will be part of next year's. Okay.
Any other question on that part, on the part of a motion that's on the table? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Now, second, the addressing the priority corridor and the other adjustments that are to be made. Is there a motion on the table?
So moved.
And that is to move forward to adopt those. A second?
Second.
Second, Mr. Downs. Discussion? Hearing none. Okay. We are voting on moving forward with the priority corridors and the bus adjustments, and it would identify the funding in the FY13 budget. And we may state for the record that the funding has been identified from the reserve, if that makes it clearer.
Madam Chair, could I
just
clarify? The funding is in the FY13 or the FY12 budget? You said 13.
The adjustments would be made in the FY13 budget in order to pay for it. Is that correct? Yes. It's coming from the reserves from FY12.
So that would be a funding source.
FY11.
I'm sorry.
That's correct. It would be coming from the reserve. If the board would choose to do this prior to an adoption of a budget, we would have to have funding in place in order to execute. In order to do that, the board, I would recommend that in the resolution, if the board would pass it, would have to include that it would be identifying the particular reserve, the operating reserve. It would be used for this particular bus priority corridor. And just to let you know, we've had precedent on that. I think back in 2003, we had a budget deficit. We used reserve funds from the prior year, And of course, we did it in 2010. Typically, the board has made those two to close the budget gap. This would be the first time we're identifying it for a particular service, which is, I think, the objective of a reserve, more than just to close a gap.
Let me ask Mr. Rickler a couple of questions, because I think it's pertinent to the motion on the floor and then the decision the board will make. Mr. Rickler, would you go through the establishment of the priority corridor and what kind of service we're discussing here, and why we're at the June 17th time for implementation?
Yes, the priority corridor network was adopted by the board years ago. 24% of all ridership on this corridor is
And I guess the last question, they are regional services, are they? And
all regional services? Yeah, all priority corridors.
Okay. No, I'm sorry, let me go back to you and then.
Let me separate my concerns.
Okay.
First off, I think I want to keep in mind, and I want to amplify that, first and foremost, we want to make sure that we provide the best regional service that we can possibly meet, achieve. And so my concerns have nothing to do with the action from a service standpoint, the timeliness of it, or the necessity of doing it. I'm very supportive of that. What I'm concerned about is just the precedent of, because as you described, it's a very narrowly defined precedent for how we are doing this. And I'm not comfortable that we have that adequate discussion around circumstances under which we would use those reserve funds for moving into a subsequent year budget to take on an activity. We have not done that, and I'm concerned about the process of doing that. It's great that we are in the enviable position of having a surplus, but it is a situation where if we have a surplus, have we considered the range of alternatives that we might use that surplus for? If we're presented with an alternative that makes good sense to do, not challenging the quality of the decision of what to do with it, but we have done that in an isolation that makes me less than satisfied with how we've gotten there. And I commend you for figuring out a way to get something done that the board has set as a priority. So, but I do want to be careful with how we approach this, and it is a precedent in terms of what we want to do. So I'm uncomfortable with. I'm not uncomfortable with the decision, with what we want to do, but the process for getting there leaves me a little bit concerned.
Can I just address that?
Yeah, please do. Thank you.
What we're talking about today in terms of these priority corridor services are all things that were proposed in the 2013 budget. So these are not something new that are suddenly being thrown on the table. It's really fleshing out the 2013 process. It's still in the 2013 proposed budget. What we're attempting to do here is to provide a vehicle so that the board can feel comfortable that they don't have to worry about the final decisions on the 2013 budget by providing money out of the reserve. It's to take care of that issue. This has really all come through, you know, the JCC, the It's in part of the 2013 budget. It's not as if, and I can understand your concern, that if we suddenly pulled something out of the sky that we had not talked about with regard to the 2013 budget and say, hey, let's spend the money on this. Now, there really would have been no previous discussion. This has been part of the budget discussion for FY13. It's really to deliver these bus improvements to the folks, to the customers, earlier than we otherwise could have.
Let me go to Mr. Downs.
I understand the operational reasons and the efficiencies for doing it at this time, and I think that's a very strong argument. I also think we should not lose sight of the fact that we're paying attention to our customers. Mm-hmm. We really are looking at the quality of service. We're having a debate now about fares and service, and I think we should take note of the fact that where we can improve our service and find a way to pay for it, we are open to doing that.
Ms. Porter, Mr. Downs, and Ms. Hines.
I also want to say that I am very much in favor of extending these services. I think they definitely do fill a need, and they have been put on the table and discussed. However, I share Mr. Nichols' concern about the process that we're using. It is true, and I very much appreciate the general manager's figuring out a way to pay for this without sort of jumping ahead into the next year's budget. However, if we begin service in this fiscal year, it will become part of the baseline that we deal with when we deal with the fiscal 13 budget. So we are, in fact, making decisions about the fiscal 13 budget also. And it's not a question of no one's ever heard of this before. It's a question of I don't doubt that we are going to have difficult decisions in this budget. We're going to have to make a decision, do we want X or Y? And when we have decided ahead of the budget that we will include certain services, no matter how necessary and no matter how desirable, then that diminishes the discussion that we can have around the budget. Now, if you are saying that we will postpone service, so if on some remote chance the board decides, for example, not to include this in the fiscal 13 budget, which it would have to be, otherwise it would begin on June 13th and end on June 30th, if the board decides not to do this, then you could, in fact, stop it or not implement it, because by June 18th we will have made those decisions on the budget. But I'm concerned about the sort of the position this puts the board in. I mean, it's more of a, in this particular case, this is a good service. I'm fairly confident the board will approve it. But I'm concerned about the precedent it sets for sort of picking all the good parts out of the budget and implementing them and making decisions on them ahead of time, and that putting ourselves in a very difficult position when we actually have to come to making the trade-offs about the budget.
Mr. Dan.
I appreciate the conversation about the timing and precedent. We have struggled for a long time about the difference about when a budget is actualized. For bus, it requires the bus pick to expand or change bus service. And if this is part of the fiscal 13 budget adoption process, when is the earliest time that this bus service could be put in place as part of the regular budget adoption process? That's what I mean.
Budget in June, the service adjustments will be made the last weekend of December.
So if we do try to put enhanced bus service in place, it would go in the last week in December?
Correct.
Okay. The other is that bus ridership is up in the last 12 months. How much? 10%. In the face of almost a monumental shift in bus ridership. It's hard to imagine that our customers don't expect us to be able to put bus capacity on the road to meet that kind of demand. Pushing it back to the end of this year, in effect, the beginning of next year, while it will save the authority money by not providing that service, it seems penny-wise and pound-foolish about providing capacity where there is legitimate demand. I appreciate the arguments about precedent, and I think we ought to have a discussion about this kind of budget sequence when we have to make decisions to have them be effective in the coming fiscal year, rather than have a kind of arbitrary set of timeframes that is at the last, we adopt the budget at the very last moment in hopes that it can all fit into the operating demands of the authority. This is not a perfect process piece by any stretch of the imagination. It has been moving even as of the day before yesterday, my conversations with the general manager and his conversations with the finance staff about how this thing is unfolding and the conversations with the jurisdiction staffs and the other stakeholders. I would, in spite of reservations about precedent and procedure, I would encourage us to err on the side of meeting the demand of the bus service. If we have another 15 or even something smaller like 12% growth in bus ridership in the coming year, we'll be bursting at the seams and trying to figure out how to explain to people that we actually deferred for half a year any expansion in the capacities of the system, particularly along priority corridors. I would encourage us to recognize publicly that we're in a process where it's not perfect, but we're still struggling to try and do the right thing by our customers and our riders.
Ms. Hines?
Thank you. I would echo most of what Mr. Downs has said, and I think instructive for us moving forward is the whole issue of understanding better when we need to make decisions in order to have them be able to be operationalized in a timely manner with a budget. And I, you know, it's not an unreasonable thing that it takes 6 weeks to go from budget adoption to being able to, you know, bring new service online. And so how we think about that in the future, I think, really is important. But I agree with Mr. Downs. We've got too much bus ridership going on. We have too much reason to continue to press forward on priority corridor networks. I mean, all you have to do is look at Pike Ride in Arlington to understand how effective this can be at providing really great options for people to take bus, to know that this is going to have to be part of our future as a region. And so to delay it, you know, over a two-week argument is, to me, just not in the best interest of the people we serve. So, Mr. Dyke.
Just very briefly, I totally agree with Tom and with Mary on that, so I think we'll just move forward on this.
Let me just be real clear about a couple of things. One is it's not an argument. It's really a discussion, and the discussion has absolutely nothing to do, the discussion that I'm having has nothing to do with the service. I have no challenge with the necessity of the service. I advocate making the change for the service as part of our obligation from constituency standpoint. So that is really not part of the discussion that I'm having. The discussion points that I'm raising relate to the basis for use of the reserve fund, when we tap into it, why we tap into it, and the process that we go through for making that decision. That's what I'm discussing, and I'm discussing the point related to also the basis for making decisions that will impact future years' budgets in this framework. I am not opposed to the change. In fact, I'm going to support the change when we vote for it. But I do want to be clear that I believe that it's important for us to understand how we can be efficient and flexible and move quickly, but also have a framework that gives us, that gives me comfort in terms of how we do it. And that's really all. I commend the general manager and the staff for figuring out a way to make this work. And I'm glad we're making the service work, but I do want the issue discussed from a governance standpoint and from a process standpoint, how we do it. And then just one last question, and I actually won't comment on this particular issue anymore except to vote yes on it. Specifically, how much money are we allocating from the reserve? What is the size of the reserve? And are there any other anticipated uses of that reserve?
The thing is, the term reserve has taken on a meaning that it's way beyond. We just happen to have $5 million left over from FY11 that we didn't assign, expenditures for after we paid off the preventive maintenance loan. There is no other reserve. This was just $5 million that was left over that we saw this as an opportunity to say, okay, let's take what's a 2.3 and get the service started earlier so we could deliver service to our customers, which we plan to 2.7, I'm sorry, which service to our customers, which we planned anyhow in the next budget. Let's deliver it earlier. It was just an opportunity to do it. That's all.
And the cost will be just from
the subsidy increase is for 2.27 million.
2.3 million dollars.
Yeah, I want to add one thing procedurally.
Okay.
I mean, it's just the reserve, we do an annual reconciliation. We're required to do that under the compact.
Excellent.
We show what that surplus is. The jurisdictions literally can get that funded back to them. I mean, it's not an operating reserve the way an operating reserve would work in a publicly traded company. That's all. It's really, but the board tends to dictate where that reserve can go to for the need.
Right. Surplus. It's really a surplus from one year.
Surplus. Okay. Okay.
All right. I'm going to hear from Ms. Bowser and then Mr. Bulger, and then we're going to call.
Just very quickly, the program, the priority corridor improvements are throughout the compact area. And how are they prioritized?
The priority corridor network program is a multi-year program. This is this year's recommendation for the adjustments that we should make. There are a number of adjustments in the district. There are some in Maryland and also in Virginia. So annually, there are different adjustments made in different corridors. We have a list of improvements that we would do in June and a list that we do in September. These are the ones that have completed studies. Activities, the details have been worked out, jurisdictions have approved, and these are the ones that are ready for implementation.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Bulger, I'm sorry.
Well, then the resolution should say that in 2013's budget, it's a $2-point-something million back to Mr. Nichols's point. Right now, it just says that it's $294,000 for.
But that's a specific service. The other says that whereas says that it is funded in the 2013 budget.
All right, on page one, Madam Chair.
Page one.
So,
and what the general
2013 budget includes funding to implement. Is that where?
Right.
Okay.
And,
well, but there's no.
And
dollar amount for 2013 proposed budget that's included in the resolution. That's, we just found out is $2-point-something million.
I recommend we add another resolve.
Yes, please.
Please. And so the resolve can say, I think we just were writing it as we were speaking, resolve that the authority is authorized to utilize funds from the operating reserve to allow Metro to begin the service effective June 17, 2012.
And we do want the amount in.
And I'm sorry, and the amount of...
And an estimated cost of, so we're all clear. Thank you. So, Madam Chair, I urge for you to revise the resolution.
That is the resolve clause that we will be approving
okay.
in the resolution. Okay, as amended. Okay. Any other discussion? All those...
Just to be clear, then, if we adopt this, both the
Rush Plus service and the enhanced will occur starting the 17th of June.
That's correct.
Thank you.
That is correct. I'm going to just end this discussion, and I'm sorry it was belabored. We asked for a piece of information from the committee, and we got it late. But the important part is that we heard so much about the quality of service in this by Metro, and what we're really doing is utilizing a process that has been used before in order to address filling a service, and I think we've done so in a way that I think we are both winners. I think by funding this, we have funded with funds that are already available and identified, so we now have something actually funded in a budget, which should reduce some of our costs, as well as be able to satisfy the needs of the customers. With that, all those in favor of the motion, those opposed, thank you very much. That passed. The last item on the agenda is the report from the jurisdictions. Mr. Downs.
The district has nothing to report, Madam Chair.
Mr. Nichols.
Maryland, no report. Thank you.
From the Transportation Commission, I just wanted to report that we have continued our outreach, and we had an opportunity to go out to the Council of Governments, as well as indicated in the Accessory Advisory Committee, and we will continue. And Mr. Downs?
And I'll make the same comment with respect to the federal government. We have the opportunity to meet with the Federal Transit Administrator and his key staff a week or so ago. We have a second meeting scheduled with General Services Administration, who's our appointing authority, and we had very good conversations with FTA. The only other thing I'd say from the federal government is we're all watching what they're going to be doing on Capitol Hill with a great deal of concern.
Yes.